Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and dear visitors who came here tonight to hear God's word. First of all, I have to apologize, and I'm extremely sorry, I can say it like that, for any inconvenience or your English would suffer, because I am English is not my first language. My first language is Slovak language. So, but I do hope that you will understand the message and that what I am going to speak about. I know that this is great for me. This is God's grace to can be so that I can be in Canada and in I would say Brethren Assembly or assembly that is gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I also know that this is responsibility for me, because maybe you know some Slovak guys. I had spoken to a brother who was speaking here before me. Maybe you know Zdeno Čara, Slovak hockey player. Maybe you know Peter Sagan, good cyclist. And maybe some more people. But I don't know if you know any Christians from Slovakia. And so this is good, great responsibility for me. When you, I don't know that you make a bad reputation about Slovak brothers and sisters. So I want to be humble and to say something what is good. First part of this assembly meeting is that I was asked to give something like report about my country. Because I was said that not everyone knows much about Slovakia. Maybe you know something about Czechoslovakia. It was a country that was divided in 1993 into two independent countries, into the Czech Republic with the capital Prague and into the Slovak Republic or Slovakia with the capital Bratislava. I live in Slovakia. Slovakia is situated. We don't have the sea. We have some lakes, but not like lakes like you have here. We have borders on Poland, on the north part, on the Czech Republic western part, on Austria and Hungary, let's say on the south part, and on Ukraine in the eastern part. And I can say that I am here because I met Brother Malcolm Stanley in Ukraine in the Brethren Conference in Lviv. And I know that you know something about gospel work in this country. I could see some magazine or something like that about Lviv, about Lutsk. And Lutsk is one assembly, one of three gatherings or assemblies that exist in Ukraine. So I'm glad that I can go there regularly, maybe last 5 years, and to meet brothers and sisters there, to encourage them, and also they can come to my countries, at least some of them, and there is some connection between us. But there is difference because this is just the first generation of brethren there in Ukraine, and I would say, just the fifth generation. And similar maybe to your country, to Canada, the gospel came in this way, how we received it, came to our country in 1900. And maybe I can say something about that history, about it, that one brother from Great Britain, from England, his name was Frederick Butcher. He was thinking about going somewhere as a missionary worker. And he was thinking about Africa. But there were brothers who encouraged him to go to this part of Europe where I am living. So he went to that country, it is Slovakia, and he brought gospel there. So first of all, people were rejecting this message, good news. My country is Roman Catholic country. Maybe 80% are Roman Catholics, and maybe 10% or I don't know how many exactly are Lutherans. So he brought the gospel to this country, And the people started to believe. And one of them was Michael Sadloň, one of people in Slovakia. So he went together and from town to town, and they used to bring gospel to the houses, to the marketplaces. And the other brother, Michael Sadloň, was so-called colporteur. It means a man who used to sell Bibles, and he was a part of some mission, and he didn't only sell Bibles, but he also had open heart to say to preach gospel. But the company told him, no, you are not allowed to preach gospel just to sell Bibles. So he said, sorry, I can't obey you, even I will not be paid by you. So he refused this way, and he continued in his work and preaching the gospel. And when he went, now we can see the map, and there the small assemblies arose. One of them is in Zvolen, where I am from, this town. I live in this town, and it is in the middle, in the heart of Slovakia. So the gospel was brought there. Believers were persecuted, first of all, from the other people, from different churches. I just heard it, like a history of brethren in my country. For example, they were gathered together in houses, in villages, in rooms, and people took stones, and they started to throw the stones and something like that. And the Christians were known like sects or something like that. There are sectars, and the priest of the village, of Catholic or of Lutheran church, he said that we won't bury these people where normally there is cemetery, but just outside, somewhere outside the village. So, but still, the believers were encouraged, and there were more believers and more believers. During the second and the first and the second World War, the assembly meetings were closed, were prohibited. Believers were prohibited to meet together, but they found a way. There was very good connection with Baptist Church and one more church. They were very similar to our understanding and practice. Of course, it was a church, organized church with hierarchy, but there were believers who were able to accept our brothers, our believers, and even they let them preach there. So this, we existed like that, but after the Second World War finished in 1945, we could again meet freely. But what happened in 1948, the Communist Party started to rule, and it was, it was like totalitarian system, and they used to teach people that God doesn't exist, and they started to persecute Christians and people who were another kind of thinking. So it was hard times for our brothers and sisters. They were not allowed to meet together in some years. The other Baptist church helped us somehow for several years. Just later on, after some circumstances, I'm not going to speak all about it, but we could meet again. But it was hard to be a believer. Believers who wanted to work, for example, with young people, with youth, some of them, they had to go to prison from 8 to 12 years. And they told them that you are against our republic, socialistic republic. Even I know that some brothers, especially I know about one brother from my assembly, there is a letter, and it says there that they told them that you want to start the Third World War. So you have to, some of them, they had to go to prison or were persecuted. The persecution was in that way that even they could stay, not in a prison. The children had problems to get to good schools, to universities, and even the believers, even they were good at some work, they couldn't do this work because they said that you can't. You are not communist, you are Christian, so you can't. But these Christians were good at the work, so they couldn't have good position, but still they used to work, like, you know, you understand. So this is something from the history, and communism finished in 1968, the year when the troops, Russian troops and troops of Warsaw Agreement, it means from of other communist countries, they came to our country, so-called to protect us against freedom, I would say. So there were hard times. The tanks came to Czechoslovakia, and so on. It was a difficult time, but it finished in 1989. The communism finished. So-called it was so-called the Velvet Revolution. Slovak people and Czech people didn't fight like some nationalities. They had to fight, but it was very calm, and so the government was changed, and the freedom could come. But it was good. But the bad point of it was that when we had one enemy from outside, so we were. There was unity among brethren, among assemblies. There were unity. We were together, praying for each other. But when came freedom, some brothers started to think in another way. So unfortunately, there are two groups, like I think in all over the world. I think you call it like hall and chapel, maybe something like that. So there are brothers who are more liberal to some things, and. There are two groups, you know. So this is what is not very nice, and some brothers believe in inspiracy of God's word, but don't believe in that it is enough. That only God words can save people. We don't need to do like concert, rock concert, or that kind of music to reach the people, but only God's word can save. And it is true, and we believe still in it, and also head covering and more things like that. I'm not going to speak about it much. So this is something about the history of my country, and now there are two republics, as I told you, in 1993, Czech Republic and Slovakia, but we are connected somehow with our brethren from the Czech Republic. Even every assembly is independent. This is biblical understanding of it. So what can I tell you? Maybe that we have, Slovakia is a small country. It has about 5 million and a half inhabitants. And there are about 36 assemblies or gatherings. Smaller and bigger one, from one person to maybe 100, nearly 100. We are one of the, in Zvolen, it is one of the biggest assembly meetings. And there are two assemblies which are bigger, and they are able to organize something like mini conference once a quarter, once in 3 months. And once a year in Zvolen, we organize a conference for all believers from all the country. Normally 300, 400 people can come there. And what I wanted to mention, speaking about communism, and it still continues, that the only way how to preach gospel publicly was funerals, when somebody died. So the gospel was preached there. And nobody could say anything, and maybe wedding a little bit, and summer youth camps, but we couldn't call it summer youth camps, but we could call them just for the government. When the government checked, what are you doing here? So the brother said, "I am here, my wife, my children, But our children have another friends, and they have another friends, and they know about us. So we are spending time together. So this is the way how it was possible to do it. And praise the Lord that people were saved in these summer camps or after them, and it still continues like that. So before I came here, we had two camps with my wife and children in Slovakia in two different places, when the young people can hear gospel and there is biblical teaching, except of games, plays, and you know, something like that. So this is about the history, about the past, and maybe it's enough to say what is in my mind. Maybe after the assembly meeting you can ask something more about Slovakia and about life there. So it was the first part, like report, and now when you go home you can check the map if you want. And you can try out, you can check if you know where Slovakia is situated, if you were right or not now when I'm speaking about it. I'm sorry, I didn't bring the map. Normally it is not in our assemblies that we do some presentation, but brother told me that it is okay here, so if I knew, I would bring it something like that. But but you are not disturbed by pictures, and you can just imagine what I'm speaking about. So you can pray for Slovakia and for more people to be saved, especially who are real religious, but they think that this is enough. The priest can do everything for them. So they are baptized when they are born, and they think that it is okay. Baptism and another things like that. But praise the Lord that maybe one more thing that I can tell you is that I was saved when I was 14 years old, and it was after the summer camp. I told you that it was very good to go there, and I recognized that I am a sinner. Even I tried to behave good, my parents are good, but still I've recognized that I'm a sinner and I need salvation, and only blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed. Only he can save me because of his blood, and I repented and I believed that he is the only savior. I repented and I got the peace when I came home from the camp. I was crying before the Lord, and I got the peace, and I am glad that I have it. And now I tried to serve the Lord. How can I? I was asking step by step, and he is leading me somehow. And now what I am going to speak about in the next minutes is speaking about the service to the Lord, and I called it like this. How can be prepared to do top job? But what do I mean by top job? I mean every job or work that God prepared to you and to me. This is top job. It is the woman can do this job with her children when she raised them to the Lord. I want to speak about David and his preparation for this job. For his, in his case, it was that he was a king. What higher could it be? But I want to tell you three ideas from his life, or four ideas from his life. So let's read First Book of Samuel, chapter 16. First Book of Samuel, chapter 16, and I will read, I will try to read. This is, English is not my native language, and King James Version is also not my native, Bible. I read we have Slovak Bible, and we have very similar translation. Very, very different words are there, like in this Bible. So I will try to do my best to read it so that you understand. So First Book of Samuel, chapter 16, from the verse 1, in the Lord's name, I will read. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will thy mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Samuel hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will shew thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spoke, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or know the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen thee. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and godly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from the day for what? So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So what was the beginning before David became the king? First point is his heart. I will speak about more points, but I will start with the heart, where I finished when I spoke last time in Mitchell. So, heart. It was said to Samuel not to look at the appearance, because the Lord is looking at the heart, into the heart. And in the Acts, it is written that David was man according God's heart. Acts 13:22. So heart. The first thing is heart. If we want to serve the Lord and he wants us to serve him, so first of all, it's the matter of heart. Now I'm speaking about people who are saved. But still, we must be careful about the heart, because in Jeremiah it is said that the heart is bad, is deceitful. And bad things also come from the heart. But now I'm speaking about the heart of David and about the heart of a man according to God's heart. So, and the question is, what touches our heart? When we think about something, so it is very important what touches our heart. We see the world is bad, and some people are crying, wow, what happened? There was some accident happened somewhere. It touches our heart. It's okay when these things like that touch our heart. But I want to say that the man who is according to God's heart, one of the characteristics is that God thinks touch the heart of that kind of a person. Let's look at David, for example. We can see him, he went to visit his brothers, and he saw the giant Goliath. What did he do? He didn't say just pass away, but something happened in his heart. He thought that this is about God and his glory, his honor. So it touched his heart and he started to do something so that Goliath, the giant, is dead. So this is one example. We think many things around us. When the boy sees girl, sometimes it touches his heart and is normal. God gave marriage, and if it's the correct girl and correct boy, the right boy, so it's okay. But there are many things that touches our heart. We have many hobbies, many things like that. But the question is, what is more? What more touches our heart? Maybe some people from Winnipeg, it touched their hearts when they found out that Winnipeg Jet, such a good team, and they lost in playoff very soon. Okay, it could touch. It's okay. It's normal when they like it. But my question is, when we see lost sinners, so do they touch our hearts? When we see something that is necessary to do in family life, in assembly life, is it something that touches our heart or not? Look at Saul. What did touch his heart? It was his glory. He told to Samuel, honor me in front of the elders. Even, okay, I sinned, I committed sin, but still, I need my honor. But David was a man who wanted to honor God, and God's glory was touching always his heart. It was for what his heart was beating. He knew that he belongs to the Lord, to God. So this is something what I wanted to start speaking about, that what is in our heart. Because what is God looking for? There were nice brothers, big brothers, good figure, nice face maybe. But God rejected them. He was looking for David, because he was a man according to God's heart. So this is what is the Lord looking for. So where is our heart? When Peter or Paul went to Athens and he saw idols, so it touched his heart and he had to speak something. He had to express, he had to speak about the Lord. He couldn't say just, okay, it is nothing about me, live your life and I will go just pass away to another I will go pass to another town or city, and so on. So this is first point, that God is looking what is in our heart, and He wants our heart. In Proverbs 23:26, it is written that He wants, give me your heart. God is asking us, give me your heart. First of all, I don't need no knowledge now. I don't need your strength. Yes, I will need it. I will use it. He was able to use even Paul's knowledge, but it was not the priority. Paul had to recognize that I am nothing. I am the last. I am the first sinner. But everything is just vain for God's glory, what I received. Even I was sitting at the Gamaliel's legs. It means I was learned. I had some good knowledge. But still, he had to realize that he is nothing. But his heart was important, and God could use it. Okay, point number two, what I want to say is that we could read in this story that David was something like left out. He was something like rejected. A man had 8 sons. But when there was a feast, how many sons did he invite? Only 7. As you know, what does it mean, 7? It's a number of perfection. Maybe he said, okay, so he understood it like that. 7 is enough, perfection, and there is one more son, but I don't think I can call him. no reason. Imagine that you are the eighth son. Imagine that you would be in his position. Are we in a position like David was? I think yes. How many times were we rejected? He was rejected even by Samuel. Samuel thought that the first man would be the king. His father rejected him in this way. His brothers used to reject him. We can see it in another chapter. How many times were you, brother or sister, where was I rejected like that? That we didn't get the place that we thought that we deserved this place. We were invited somewhere, or we were not invited. And if we were invited, we didn't get the place that we were thinking about, that this is our place. Maybe you went to an assembly and nobody gave you the hand, shake your hand. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe somewhere in society, anywhere, not only among brothers and sisters, but you felt like that all attention of your parents is not to you, but to your brother or sister, who is older, who looks maybe nicer, maybe more intelligent. Is it true? Yes, it is true. I think that it is true, not only in Slovakia, that someone didn't notice you. And what to do? How to copy with it? What did David do before he got, sorry for the expression, top job, I don't know if I can use it, but before he got this job, before he was a king, he had to copy with situation like that. What did he do? Look at the Psalms. What did he do? The Lord is my shepherd. He knew that he had someone. If my father rejected me, if my family, if my friends, still I know that there is Lord, and the Lord loves me, and he is my shepherd. This is Psalm 23, but there are more psalms that we can see how did he had to copy with situations like that, because it was not the only one situation like that. So good reaction. What can people normally do? Some say, goodbye, I will not come to your assembly meeting again. Goodbye, you broke my heart. Goodbye, I will not come again, I will not receive your invitation, and so on. But David did what he could do, the best way. He felt like spare, or I don't know how to say, left out. He could feel offended, fed up, but he was able to copy with it. Now, several weeks ago, I was in spa healing. I have some problems, and from the beginning, I tried people to know that I am a Christian. I am a Christian, and they were able to understand it, and they spoke among themselves. Oh, he's a unique person because he's a priest and still he's married, because Roman Catholics are priests and not married. But yes, we all are priests in biblical way. So they understood it like that. And they said that he is very unique because he goes among believers. They don't take money from government. Normally churches get money from government, but we refuse it. So it was another situation. They started to ask me, what is it? Tell us more about it. So it was good that I had open door to preach the gospel to these friends, to these people. But on the other side, I knew that I would be excluded. In the evening, they went dancing. They called it therapy, dancing therapy. I said, sorry, this is not therapy for me. I will not go with you. Okay, they accepted it. But there were things that they could take me with you. I could go with them. And I found out they were so careful. They didn't call me even where I wanted to go, you know, where I could go. And I felt like that. I felt like David. Now it's okay. I feel fine when I'm speaking about that. But in that situation, I was sorry. I was depressed. I felt, what am I going to do this evening? I am so happy. Everyone is there, and I am here. But I did what David do. I did what David did. I bow on my knees and I said, God, the Lord, you are my shepherd. I am very glad you are with me, and. And I was thinking about this topic. So now I have good experience in my life, that God is my shepherd. So, but let's go to point number three, because time in Canada is passing quickly. Point number three is, we read in verse number one, there is one word that contains only two letters, and the word is me. At the end of the first verse, for I have provided me a king among his sons. What is another point to be ready for top job? It's good to know that if God chose you for something, for some job, for some work, this is for him. This job is his job. This is not my job. I am not I, but I am his. I am his. So the motive of the service is for him. We can read it in all Bible, for example, in Acts chapter 13. You know, there were believers at Antioch, and they ministered to the Lord. And it is written that Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Separate me. It means they will be for me. I need them for my work. This is not their job. This is mine. So this is the point that the motive is not about me. The service for the Lord is not about me. Some people think that I want to do the job, the work that I would be like my hobby. But the answer is no. Forget about it. It will be just after, not now. It is written that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying the words that if you want to follow me, deny yourself and take your cross. It means if you want to have a top job, follow me, deny yourself, take your cross. This is not a small cross. Some people are wearing, even in especially in my country, small cross. But this is another kind of cross. Deny yourself. Be able to humble yourself. There are some courses, Christian courses, have to be a leader. But the Lord Jesus Christ told them, follow me. There should be courses have to follow him. And if we follow Lord Jesus, later on, look at the example, disciples, they were leaders. But first of all, they had to be able to follow him. If someone wants to be a shepherd, and it is good when he wants, first of all, he must be a good sheep. Only good sheep can become a good shepherd. So Lord Jesus Christ is telling us that if you want to do something, first of all, take your cross. Yes, you will have joy. It is written that the kingdom of God is joy in holy righteous peace and joy in Holy Spirit. You will have joy, but without cross you will not experience this kind of joy. You can have joy when something good happens to you, when you get to the university, when Winnipeg Jet wins, sorry for this example, you can have this kind of joy. But biblical joy, that is God's kingdom, you will not experience if you refuse this way, if you refuse taking your cross, denying yourself, losing your soul. You can receive your soul back, but first of all, you must lose it. Be able to lose it. So to do this good job, it means be like Lord Jesus Christ was. He came to suffer and to die. It is written that Peter speaks that all scripture is about suffering of Christ and glories after. So we must take all the packet, not only the glories. But there is order. First of all, be able to suffer for him somehow. We don't have to be in communistic country to suffer for the Lord. But suffering And this is, for me, the motive is, it is only about one thing. Not think, but about one person, about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only motive. And it is written, provide me a king. So it is about God. Everything is about him. It is not about ourselves, how we feel when we do something, but it is about him. Him be the glory. If God gives you, and I know that he is giving us and he wants to give us some service, he does it for himself, not for ourselves. We can be glad, we can have the joy, his joy, when we receive it, that this is for his glory, that what are we doing is for him, that what everything what we do is not like to people, but to him, even when we do our job, our work, where we are employed. So it is for him. So it is point number 3, and very briefly, point number 4. The verse 13, the last verse, says that then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, and it is written, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So point number 4, he was filled with Holy Spirit. Okay, we are filled with the Holy Spirit when we became a Christians. We it is Old Testament, and we live in the period of church. But what I want to say that all preparation is very good. Point number 1, to have heart with the Lord. Point number 2, what we mentioned, there are more points, of course, but point number 2, be able to be refused and still be able to copy with it. Point number 3, understand that everything is about God, not about me. But without Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. But we got Holy Spirit. We are there is a seal of Holy Spirit, and it is also connected with his calling. Who called these people that I quoted from Acts chapter 13? Holy Spirit said that take these two men to me so that they will serve. So who is at the beginning of each service? Who calls, who is calling us? It is connected with the Spirit of the Lord and with to be full of him. So I just wanted to share something what is in my heart, thinking about David, because I was and I'm still thinking about David, and I just wanted to say something, and we can ask ourselves, or God can ask us, where is our heart? And we know that sometimes it's good, but sometimes we are very ashamed, where is our heart? And he wants our heart, so it is for every day. This topic is for every day, that he is calling us. He's asking, where is your heart? And there are more situations, problems. God uses people, like in case of David, he used his father, his Saul, and more people to work in him, his good work in him. And he wants to do his work in us, first of all, so that he can use us. God did something for us. It is the result is salvation. It is finished. The second point, he is doing his work in us, and it is not the end. And the result is sanctification, and as we read, sang in the song, consecration. And the third point, just the result of it, God's work through us, it is very nice. It doesn't hurt, but we are glad when God can use us. But it is not possible without God's work for us and God's work in us. So let him work in us, in our hearts. We will pray.